Good morning. Can you hear me? Hi, I'm Sylvia Tan, and as was mentioned, I'm a research statistician with the Research Triangle Institute based out of Washington, D.C. The title of my presentation today is Trichomonas vaginalis, whom should we screen? And in spite of the title that's listed in the APHA presentation, my talk will focus primarily on Trichomonas vaginalis screening and prevention. Aspects of chlamydia screening and prevention will be covered in Elizabeth Eggleston's talk immediately following mine's. And at this moment, I would like to acknowledge the presence of my co-authors here in the room today. Sue Rogers, is she here? Yeah, right there in the middle. And Elizabeth Eggleston, up here in front, and they are also investigators for the study which I will be describing. So we'll start off by asking, what is T. vaginalis? It's also known as trichomoniasis and also simply as trich. Trich is the most common curable sexually transmitted infection with over 7 million new cases annually in the United States. Trich affects both women and men, but it's more common in women. The infection is caused by a single-celled protozoan parasite. It is often asymptomatic, and it is easily cured by a single dose of antibiotics taken orally. Untreated trich infection is associated with a variety of health outcomes, including pelvic inflammatory disease, low birth weight, preterm delivery, and also of note, increased susceptibility to the HIV virus. Because trich infection is often asymptomatic, and because asymptomatic infections are less likely to be detected, and persons with it are less likely to seek care and more likely to pass their infections to their partners, screening becomes an effective strategy for the prevention of long-term health effects of T. vaginalis. There have been some surveys conducted in an attempt to estimate the prevalence of trich in the United States population. Data from NHANES 2001 through 2004 produced an estimate of 3.1% of U.S. women between 14 through 49 infected with trich. The National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, or the Ad Health Survey, 2001 through 2002, produced an estimate of 2.3% of U.S. adolescents between 18 through 26 infected with trich. And I must add that the majority of these diagnoses were asymptomatic. In addition, both surveys report higher rates of infection among African American females, 13.3% in NHANES and 10.5% in Adolescent Health Survey. However, in spite of these high rates, there is no active surveillance of trich based on reporting from local public health institutions in the United States. Due to the absence of regular surveillance, studies such as the Monitoring STIs Survey Program, which I'm about to describe, are useful for helping to tease out differences in patterns of prevalence in untreated trich infection. The Monitoring STIs Survey Program is designed to provide a continuous monitoring of trends in three sexually transmitted infections in a single urban community, which is the city of Baltimore, over a three-year period. The infections under study are gonorrhea, chlamydia, and trich. The study began in September of 2006. The Monitoring STIs study population includes English-speaking males and females between the ages of 15 and 35 residing in Baltimore. Interviews to assess health behaviors and health outcomes are conducted using private telephone audio computer assisted self-interviewing, or TACASI techniques. And urine specimens are collected from study participants through collection kits sent and returned via the mail. T. vaginalis is detected by TMA using analyte-specific reagents. The infection is defined as repeatedly positive test result. And I must add that this method for detecting T. vaginalis has a high degree of sensitivity and specificity, and you can ask me about it later if you like. The result I'm about to describe stem from year one data and specimens that were collected, so from September 2006 through September of 2007. And for this analysis, we sorted out the characteristics of respondents providing urine specimens, generated weighted estimates of TRIC prevalence, and assessed associations between TRIC and demographic or behavioral characteristics using chi-square tests and Poisson regression. And so therefore, in year one of the Monitoring STIs program, 1,248 respondents completed the TA-CASI interview, of whom 69% mailed in urine specimens to the laboratory. Statistical analyses indicate that the impact of specimen non-response is likely ignorable. And so now moving on to the main results that we found. In year one of the survey program, we estimated that the overall TRIC prevalence in the city of Baltimore is 6.2%. The prevalence of TRIC in females is 10.1%, which was significantly five times higher than the prevalence in males, 2%. The prevalence of TRIC in blacks was 9.3%, which was significantly six times higher than the prevalence in non-blacks. And respondents with greater than a high school education had a significantly lower prevalence of TRIC compared to those with just a high school education or less than a high school education. And finally, of note, the majority of confirmed TRIC infections, 76%, were asymptomatic, with no respondents respondents reporting discharge or dysuria within the past 3 months. Among African American females, the prevalence of TRIC rose to 14.2%, and this equates to roughly 1 in 7 African American females between the ages of 15 to 35 in the city of Baltimore. This bar chart further illustrates this aforementioned result. Each bar represents the prevalence of TRIC in a subpopulation. The green here, this is African American females, 14.2%. Sorry. Just a minute. Okay. The gold here, 3.5% in African American males. The prevalence was 3.1% in non-black females. And no cases of TRIC was confirmed in non-black males in year one of the study so far. Bivariate analyses revealed some health behaviors that were associated with confirmed TRIC. And this includes those who reported having a previous sexually transmitted infection were over three times as likely to be confirmed with current TRIC compared to those who did not report a sexually transmitted infection in the past. Those who reported who were previously diagnosed with TRIC were over four times as likely to be confirmed with current TRIC. And those whose urine specimens tested positive for chlamydia were three times as likely to also test positive for TRIC. Bivariate analyses also revealed certain sexual behaviors that were associated with TRIC. And these include those who reported having two or more sexual partners within the past year were over three times as likely to be confirmed to have confirmed TRIC compared to those who reported having one or zero partners in the past year. Those who reported having a new sexual partner within the past 3 months were twice as likely to have a case of confirmed TRIC compared to those who did not report a new partner in the past 3 months. Those who didn't know of their partner had a sexually transmitted infection in the past year were over twice as likely to have confirmed TRIC. And those who reported ever being forced to have sex were three times as likely to have confirmed TRIC. So in conclusion, T. vaginalis, whom should we screen? Results from the monitoring STI survey program from year one of the study indicate that in a large urban population with a high proportion of African Americans, such as Baltimore, and without regards to symptomatology, screening should be focused on young, sexually active teens and adults, with a special emphasis on women, on African Americans, on those with a prior history of sexually transmitted infections, and those with a history of risky sexual behavior, including multiple partners, not knowing whether or not their partner has a sexually transmitted infection, or a history of forced sex. Thank you very much for your kind attention. At this moment, I'd like to thank our collaborators. And also our funding institution. Thank you.
Okay, we have time for questions.
Is the research looking into why it's so high in African American women, or that was just the information I have?
That's.
Question.
Yeah. The question was about does the research is it being conducted in an effort to ascertain why it's so much higher in African Americans? And there are in this population, I mean, there are both African Americans and people of other ethnicities, basically white. I mean, Baltimore has a high proportion of African Americans, but also quite a few whites. And there are, I think it's about 1 to 2, is it, or is it 2/3 to 1/3? Yeah, 60% African American. So we do have quite a few non-blacks in our study, and we're collecting information on health behaviors and reported health outcomes, and you know, basic things like education and some socio-demographic stuff. And so we will be able to try to figure out why. But there's been a lot of other research that has been done to try to ascertain the answer to this question. But I don't know, Sue. Would you like to add anything to that?
There's certainly maybe your input that you didn't ask about the survey, but
can you repeat that?
Mm-hmm.
You could just repeat what she said, because I don't think anyone could hear it.
It's a complicated question. It's a loaded question, basically. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors that are involved with the fact that a person may be of African-American descent or of, you know, it's a lot of other health behaviors and things like that. So, yeah, it's something we have to figure out, sort out.
Mm-hmm. I have two questions. How much does the testing cost? And did you do any analysis on number needed to treat? How many people would you have to screen to prevent one case of PID or
how much is the test? I plug and chug the numbers, but I actually don't look at the financial aspect. So about $50.
And you get all three? So is it routine now when you order the gonorrhea chlamydia, you also get trich, or that's
no,
not?
No, the trich test is, it's not FDA approved, but it's
being evaluated. Oh, so it's not yet available. So right now, if we want to screen for trich, we have to use microscopic? Okay.
So you can't go into your house office and
Is
it covered by third-party payers?
It's...
Screening covered by...
Yes. The vaginal microscopic screening is covered, and what Dr. Rogers just said is that PCR?
Mm-hmm.
This PCR test is not yet available commercially.
Yeah, it's TMA.
TMA.
So transcription mediated.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What was your refusal rate or your response rate?
The response rate for turning in the specimens was 69%.
No, I mean... For
the interviews, I think that was 57%. So a number of eligible households were determined, and 57% responded.
Okay.
And it's quite an elegant sampling frame. And
okay,
yeah.
Because you're making a claim about prevalence in Baltimore.
Yeah. It's
but you have a 50% response rate.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, yeah, and plus the prevalences are weighted, and they're actually, we adjust for the differing patterns of non-response.
Okay.
And then we also adjust the final sample towards the, to make it look like the actual population of Baltimore. So, and that's a whole methodology in itself, yeah.
Questions?
You said that your definition of trick positive was repeat positive.
Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, twice.
Is it twice?
Yeah, it's twice. And twice positive, too.
Go ahead.
I know you mentioned that African-Americans can't fight for
That's a good question. Yeah, there are a number of Hispanics. In this particular analysis, we grouped the Hispanics together with the non-blacks. But in Baltimore, there aren't, I mean, proportionally, it's mostly African American or white. Yeah, so the non-black category actually included both blacks, Asians, and a few Hispanics, those who call themselves Hispanics, but there weren't a lot.
Okay, I think we'll move on to the
okay,
next.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to let people know there are actually a lot of seats in the front. So if you want to come up and take a seat in the front, and there's some in the middle as well for the people standing in the back. Our next speaker is from the same study. Elizabeth Eggleston is a reproductive health researcher at RTI International, also based out of Washington, D.C. Thank you.